461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we do each and every day on this program. We look forward to your participation. The design, purpose, the format of this broadcast each day, built around, designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the questions, we invite you to call, give your input, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today Pride Month and the pastor. Pride Month and the pastor. What is the pastor's role in Pride Month? What should the pastor do during the sodomite month called Pride Month? How should the pastor respond? What is his responsibility biblically? Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever wondered about the role and the responsibility of a biblical pastor? In fact, today, ladies and gentlemen, most of society, including many Christians and churches and denominations, simply view the role of the pastor as being the head of the church. He's viewed as the one that's responsible for the preaching, and that's all. Yet God's word expressly, clearly points out the pastor's responsibility as overseer of the flock of God. We're going to talk about that on the broadcast today. We're going to look at the pastor's threefold responsibility and how that integrates with and connects to and look at the nexus, as I call it, of Queer Month called Gay Pride, Sodomite Month called Gay Pride. We're going to look at the pastor's role and responsibility and how that plays into this month that was introduced by William Jefferson Clinton, President Clinton, 25 years ago. And it's getting a little more murky, a little deeper in its mire of sin each and every year. And I think it's time Christians, churches, denominations, and believers, conservatives, Christians and patriots recognize what we're faced with and what we need to do as Christians. That's what we'll talk about on the broadcast today. But first and foremost, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's truth book that we need to depend on. That truth book tells us in John 8:31-32, as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Bible clearly, definitively says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So the truth of God's word is not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. It's not something that's here today and can be played with, modified, subtracted from, or added to, and some new translation come up with a new bent and twist that the God's word never intended it to be. We're living in a society today, ladies and gentlemen, when there is a play toy called truth. Truth is not viewed as stable and substantial. Truth is not viewed as being absolute. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, you can be in a circle of conversation about morals and ethics and values and theological, doctrinal, biblical truth. You can be in a conversation with someone about the society in which we're living in, what's happening with the push in the Oval Office to demoralize and destroy the ethics and the values in the nation today. And you can be, you will be every time, listen, every time you'll be confronted by someone that will deny the truth. Deny the truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Large article, headline of the article, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, in that article, the former senator makes this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, during this sodomite month, you'll see, hear, and find things that are abhorrent. The Bible says they're an abomination before God. That is, their stench in the nostrils of God. And yet, we're finding more and more Christians, pastors, churches, denominations, embracing the sodomite month and celebrating, not just embracing, but also celebrating sin. I don't know about you, but I get a little uptight with it. Don't know about you, but I'm saddened to see the declension in America today where sin is celebrated. As one caller, I believe, on yesterday's broadcast said, why don't we celebrate divorce? Why don't we celebrate bank robbery? Why don't we celebrate other forms of sin as we're celebrating the sodomite lifestyle? You ever thought about that? Sodomy is a sin. It is a sin that's grave enough that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains, that is, the cities round about. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we recognize truth. The younger generation today of Americans, the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, they state that there's no such thing as absolute truth. The millennial age group today says, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. You've heard me say before, and I'll say again, at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. We need to go back, ladies and gentlemen. I love to quote him. Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, said this, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge. I believe we need to get back to the basics of truth. I believe we need to get back to living it, loving it, telling it, and depending on it, ladies and gentlemen, and being willing to defend the truth even to death. And more we're seeing the decline of truth in America, and therefore the one that tells the truth, stands for the truth, is viewed as the arbiter of bad news, the arbiter of something that is wrong, that ought to be confronted, cast out, and done away with. We're trying to cover the demonic happenings today with a lie, and multitudes of that's coming from what should be a truth base, a truth source, which would be the churches and mainline denominations today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark. There's an identifier for Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday. allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait to see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We open our telephone lines in just a moment, but I want to say welcome to Dr. Davis is with us today. Love to have Dr. Davis with me, generally on Friday. Sometimes I have him to host for me, and he does a wonderful job, of which I'm so thankful for. Dr. Davis, delighted that you're here today. We're going to be talking about Pride Month and the pastor. So thank you again for your drive. Pastor Davis is up in Folkestone, Georgia, a good place to be. Folkestone, yes. Georgia. Pastor Davis, thank you for coming today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I want to say good morning to my bride of 38 years and all my family and friends that are listening on today. Thank God for you. Amen. And let's listen up very closely on today, because we are dealing with a worldwide universal subject as well, Dr. Youngblood, because when we talk about the sin of pride, we're going to include that.
That's right.
Later on in the broadcast, but I want you to go ahead and
get
the monologue and everything in place.
Yeah.
Set the stage so everybody will know right where we're going.
Yes.
But let's make sure we stay focused, because pride originated in heaven with Satan.
That's right.
He was the original sinner. And I thank God for that, because I learned that through the teachings out here.
Amen.
At CTU.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank God for that, because I've always read that. But that idea never did come to fruition until I was able to do my research and put that together to help me to understand more about how, if we let pride remain unchecked, then we become children of disobedience according to the spirit of this age. You know, I was so excited about that as I began to research that last night. That's a connection right there that we need to understand, that when we let pride or any sin remain unchecked in our lives, we become children of disobedience through the spirit of this age.
Absolutely.
So let's not be deceived like that, especially not in the church.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, you just touched on it, and I'll get a little ahead of myself at this point, but I want to go back and connect the dots. They call it Pride Month, and yet pride, and they call it gay pride. What they're saying is we're proud of our sin,
we
want to force you to recognize, embrace, and celebrate our sin.
How dangerous. Very dangerous for anyone, sinner or saint, to be proud about sin.
That's right.
Sin is what caused us to be separated from God.
Yes.
So listen, while you separate, while you're celebrating, in other words, you're being separated from God when you need him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
But that's one of the promulgating problems with the sodomite agenda, with the LGBTQI+TPPP, whatever they want. And we'll get to it a little later, but they're adding part of the acronym year after year after year after year. I don't know what we're going to do with the whole alphabet in there. But they are celebrating, and they're proud of their immoral, ungodly, unholy, demented sin. And they're wanting to, as the old cliche, we're going to want to rub it in our faces and make us accept it and embrace it and celebrate it.
Well, as you're talking about the alphabet, and I'm just going to take one. What? I'm just going to say the P, the pedophile. LGBTQIAP, and I guess all the others.
Yes, yes, yes.
In there. They probably got all 26 alphabets by now.
But they're ready for it.
When we look at the P, I think that one stands for pedophile.
Pedophilia, yes.
What makes you proud to be a child molester? There's no pride. You can take no pride in that, because you're destroying a young life that God created, and God has a purpose for every person in the world, because they have a soul, number one. And he has a meaning and a purpose for everyone.
Yes.
So they will never reach their God-intended purpose if their lives are destroyed through sin, and that sin begins to take root in them. Then they get so far off course until they can never recover themselves out of the snare of the devil.
Absolutely. And Pastor Davis, that's one of the, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. You've gotten a little sampling of where we're going. Perhaps you'd like to jump in the dialogue and discussion. Do you believe that the pastor has a role to play in Pride Month? Do you believe the pastor has the responsibility to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and condemn the Pride Month celebration of an abomination of sin that is in a stench in the Gospels of God? Do you believe that the pastor should say something? We're living in an era, and by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What is your position on that? Does your pastor stand and condemn the sin of sodomy? Does your pastor stand in the pulpit and unabashedly, without fear and without favor, stand and speak the truth in love? Does your pastor feel it's his responsibility? Or is some simply feel in the modern society in which we're living in, and I've heard it said too many times, the pastor is just to tell people about Jesus. He's not to get involved in politics. He's not to get involved in the social life of the world of sin that's around us. Just tell people about Jesus. Well, that is a half-truth, and you heard me say before, a half-truth is a whole lie. But what is the role of a pastor during Pride Month? Or during the any given period of time? May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the pastor has a greater, broader responsibility than just preaching from the pulpit.
Amen.
God's word is what is expressed clear about what the pastor is to do. The pastor is to be the overseer. He's the under-shepherd. He's the leader of the flock, according to the word of God. But today's churches, today's denominations, and society are either willfully ignorant or immature to the point that they do not recognize the pastor is to be several things. In fact, Dr. Davis, I've outlined basically three major points that I want to make as still a further introduction to where we're going in relationship to the sodomite month called Pride Month. And I am saddened to see that the cesspool gets deeper and wider every year that it's celebrated.
My.
It's gotten to the point where so many people feel that, well, it's been around all these years. It's just 25 years, quarter of a century, by the way. And so, therefore, the philosophy and the feeling is, well, everybody's embracing it. The government's approved it. Governments around the world have accepted it. We've got sodomite preachers, sodomite deacons, sodomite world leaders, sodomites in the House and the Senate, sodomites in local governing boards. And so, therefore, we can't say anything because it might hurt somebody's feelings. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm of the opinion that we have too many pastors today that's afraid to speak about the lifestyle of sodomy because they're afraid they might lose numbers, nickels, and noses. God holds the pastor responsibility for three major things. Number one, he's the preacher. Preach the word, the apostle. Notice in that text, in the biblical text, preach the word, then talks about be in season and out of season, be ready to rebuke, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is the sense of that to you? When God's word says preach the word, it's the caruso, herald, tell, speak forth the word, not dribble, not gibble, not some social gospel, but preach the word. The pastors have the responsibility today, ladies and gentlemen, to stand in the pulpit week after week after week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever time you hold services. The pastor's responsibility is to stand and exegete the word of God and apply the word of God, not some social gospel, not some dribble, not some mealy mouth, as I call it, psychobabble. Pastor Davis, there are a lot of, in fact, I've been amazed and saddened. I turn on television, roll the dial. I like to watch preaching, good, bad, and indifferent. I like to watch preaching.
Amen.
And as I watch the preaching, it's always amazing to me and sad to me, the dribble, the social gospel, the psychobabble. And some people might be listening today and say, what in the world is psychobabble? It's taking psychology and trying to add a portion of a verse or a phrase or a fragment of a verse out of context with that babble that makes it psychobabble. It's trying to be the psychologist in the pulpit. God never called me to be a psychologist.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Didn't call me to have psychobabble. God didn't call me to tell you 10 ways to be happy although you're married. God didn't call me to tell you about how to raise your kids unless I'm in the text in Colossians and otherwise telling you what to do and what God's word says. God didn't call me to tell you how to do 10 ways to be happy, 10 ways to make money, 10 ways to be prosperous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God called me to preach and teach the word, and that's the call of God for any pastor preacher. He is to teach the word, preach the word, and to be instant in season and out of season. That's to be ready to preach the word, herald the word, caruso the word, not what I think, not what I believe, but what God's word says. For example, the word caruso, in its original context in the text of the New Testament, it simply means this. that here's the king, here's the governor, here's the leader, and he would give the one that has the responsibility of heralding what the king or the governor says, and that person would go out in the courtyard, blow the trumpet, everybody would listen, and he would say, hear ye, and would tell everybody listening what the king said. It was a message from the king. So preaching the word is a message from King Jesus as to what we ought to say and what the people need to hear. So that's number one responsibility for the pastor today is as preacher. And secondly, it may come as a shock, Dr. Davis, to multitudes of people today. The preacher is not only to preach, but he's to be the prophet.
Amen.
He's to be the prophet. Now, I'm not talking about prophetess in the sense of the Old Testament, where he was hearing things, God speaking to him, saying things, so he's prophesying the future. Prophetess today, in that sense, as a prophet, we're heralding the good news. We're saying what God says. But the prophet, as we get our context of this term and the word, the prophet, consider those like Ezekiel, Amos, Jeremiah, Micah, Nahum, and all of those that were warning the political system of God's word and God's judgment if we didn't obey God.
Amen. Actually, and what they were, Dr. Youngblood,
yes,
in a more broader sense, they were the mouthpiece
of
God.
That's right.
And you and I today, as pastors in the church, as the leaders, we are the mouthpiece. Now, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to keep ourselves to where we can hear from God,
mm-hmm,
so that we can tell the people what God has to say.
That's right.
Now, he's going to address every area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to leave any stone unturned,
mm-hmm,
and he's going to pull all the skeletons out the closet.
That's right.
So you might as well get ready for that. So listen, when we're talking about preaching, it also involves rebuke.
Rebuke.
Paul told Timothy,
mm-hmm,
reprove,
mm-hmm,
rebuke,
mm-hmm,
and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
That's
so
right.
We look at the doctrine is the word of God.
That's right.
Listen, that might seem like a hard job, or it might seem like, you know, what some people think. Well, I hear you say cotton candy theology.
That's right. Goosebump theology, cotton candy theology.
That's what
voodoo
the people
theology.
Hear. They want to hear itching ear sermon.
That's right.
But sometimes God is going to rebuke you for the sin that's in your life,
mm-hmm,
through the pastor.
And it's through
get ready.
It's through the pastor's preaching, as pastor, as preacher, as prophet. And all the prophets of the Old Testament, by the way, they were rebuking, challenging, confronting the governmental system and what was taking place in that day.
Amen.
And somehow, some way, Dr. Davis, we have avoided that as pastors in our pulpits. In fact, I am always amazed at the number of pastors that will say, well, you know, that's delving into politics and the church ought not to get involved in politics. Dr. Davis, I've said there's a Greek word for that, horse feathers.
Amen.
That you won't find that any place in the Word of God. The pastor, as preacher, as prophet, has the responsibility of confronting the political system with the truth of the Word of God, confronting evil in society, confronting the declensions and the deficits found in society. Well, gentlemen, listen, we've got it right here in Duval County. We've got 19 city council members. We've got three sodomites. We've got five or six of them that are Republicans, but they're rhinos, Republicans in name only. And they're now trying to push an HRO, human reprobate ordinance, extension of what was put in place in 2017. They're trying to do that will make it illegal for pastors to stand and rebuke and confront and tell the truth about the sodomite sin and anything about Islam and the jihadists. It will squelch the voice of pastors in the role of preacher, prophet, that God's called us to be responsible for doing. So I challenge you again, and I'm just inserting this thought. Call your city councilman. Be kind, but be as pointed as a needle. Don't you dare vote yes on Bill 2024-0334. Challenge your city councilman to say no. Pick up the telephone and call the general counsel's office. Call the mayor's office. Call everyone that's in leadership role that's been elected by the people for them to say no and make sure this bill doesn't see daylight as it being approved. If it is approved, within 3 to 6 months, we'll start seeing the squelching of the free voice of pastors as prophets in the pulpit being obedient to the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Pride Month, the Sodomite Month, the LGBTQIP plus month that is now being celebrated on a global basis. And it started with William Jefferson Clinton, President Clinton, 25 years ago, where it was authorized, and he made the statement. I'll read that to you a little later in the broadcast of how it should be celebrated and what should be done. That's been amended, that's been changed, that's been added to, that's been broadened to the point now that Title IX of the U.S. Department of Education Code of Responsibility for Schools and what they're to do, Title IX has been changed by the whisk of a pen. Listen, once a law's passed, once an ordinance is passed, it doesn't take too much. You don't have to go before the people. You don't have to vote on it again to change, to modify the nuances of how it's to be interpreted and how it's to be applied and how it's to be enforced. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching Joe Biden trying to, if you please, sodomize the entire nation with the rules and with the change in Title IX with the U.S. Department of Education's Code of Ethics and Values, as they call it. It is now opening the bathrooms, the shower rooms, the dressing rooms, the places where young ladies, young girls in schools should be private, opening it up to the transsexuals, bisexuals, homosexuals, and the wannabe different transit, different sexual, different genders. They're claiming 157 different genders. God created only two. So God either made a mistake or they're trying to call God a lie. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Pride Month and the pastor. How does the pastor fit in? What is the pastor's role and responsibility during this month of sodomy being spread abroad and around the nation? It's being publicized, popularized, celebrated, and embraced. What's the pastor's responsibility? The pastor is to be the preacher, standing and preaching the word. The pastor is to be the prophet, confronting sin, confronting the leadership with sin, and what God will do if sin is not abated, that God's going to judge the nations. That's what the prophets were doing in all the Old Testament. Go back and study again Ezekiel, Amos, Jeremiah, Nahum, Micah, and I can go on and on and on with just about every one of the prophets, the 12 minor prophets and the major prophets. All of their responsibility was pointing out sin as a nation, as a people, and what God's going to do lest sin is abated. So, ladies and gentlemen, the third thing, and that's where we'll make our transition to Pride Month. The third responsibility of the pastor is protector, the protector. In fact, the pastor has the responsibility of protecting the sheep from the wolves.
Amen.
The pastor's responsibility to protect the sheep from the wolves, to protect the sheep from the false teachers, the false theology, the false doctrine, and that which will destroy the life, the health, and the living of that sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and following, verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, that is the leadership." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the oversight, the leadership, is to feed the flock of God.
Amen.
Now, the whole thing, mm-hmm. Dr. Davis, when you look at the word feed, it comes from the Greek word poimanitate. And if you want me to spell that, it's P-O-I. M-A-N-A-T-E, poimanitate. Poimanitate simply means shepherd, shepherd. And the shepherd is to protect the sheep from the wolves.
Amen.
The shepherd has the responsibility of protecting the child of God from the wolves that will destroy the life of the sheep. And that's what we have the responsibility today, Dr. Davis, as pastors to do. We have the responsibility. We need to do that. And the word shepherd there means to poor manitate means to shepherd. To feed is the shepherding of the flock. It means provision. It means preservation. It means protection. So we have the responsibility of trying to preserve and protect the sheep, the flock, the membership of the church. And yet somehow, some way, Pastor Davis, why do you think most pastors aren't willing to do that?
Well, it's compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Dr. Youngblood. So let me just say this. We, as you just got finished saying, ought to take the lead. Since the degenerates,
and
some of the rest, don't want to do what's right, somebody who wants to do right and are living by the word of God, which is the Christians, which is us, we have to stand forth and take the lead.
Absolutely. We need to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's broadcast, we're talking about Pride Month and the pastor. Right after the top of the hour news, we'll come back and continue our discussion. We invite you to hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Amen.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAY.